BOA 1, the hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, you will hear reports from Dan Friedel and Jill Robbins. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's technology report. We close with the next part of our U.S. history series, The Making of a Nation. But first, here is Dan Friedel.
Two groups that follow the world's temperatures said July 3rd and 4th were likely the hottest days since satellite records started in 1979. Scientists at the University of Maine run a group called the Climate Reanalyzer. It uses computer models and satellite data to predict global temperatures. The model does not use real temperatures recorded in places around the world. The U.S. National Centers for Environmental Prediction, NECP, are part of the National Weather Service. The group works to produce weather predictions and set quality levels for scientific measurement and research. Both groups said the world's average temperature on July 3rd surpassed 17 degrees Celsius. An earlier high came in August 2016, when the temperature was 16.92 degrees Celsius. The Climate Reanalyzer said July 4th would have been hotter based on its computer prediction. The group said July 5th was almost as hot. It showed temperatures in Antarctica, where it is winter, are 4.5 degrees Celsius higher than the average from 1979 to 2000 in some places. Places in northern Canada, such as Quebec, and South America, including Peru, also reached new highs on July 3rd and 4th compared to average temperatures. American cities from the northwest to the southeast have been close to all-time highs in recent days compared to average temperatures, too. In Beijing, weather watchers report 9 straight days recently where temperatures were over 35 degrees Celsius. Stefan Rahmstorf is a climate scientist at the Potsdam Institute for Climate Research in Germany. He said the temperature increase linked to the burning of fossil fuels was predicted over 100 years ago. He then said, "It is dangerous for us humans and the ecosystems we depend on. We need to stop it fast." Jason Furtado is a weather professor at the University of Oklahoma. He called temperature information from 2023 truly unreal. The Climate Reanalyzer project does not use the same climate data as the U.S. government's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, known as NOAA. The recent number of higher-than-average temperatures for single days does not make an official record. However, it supports some scientists' ideas about temperature change. The Climate Reanalyzer information goes back to about 1979. That is when satellites first started to track daily temperatures. NOAA's records from on-the-ground measurements go back to 1880. Deke Arndt is director of NOAA's National Center for Environmental Information. He said NOAA will consider Climate Reanalyzer's information when it decides on official records. He said, the observation of a single day does not carry the same weight as a month or a year. However, he called 2023 a warm piece of what will likely be a very warm era. He called the current warming event, known as El Niño, robust. He said, human-caused warming only makes the El Niño event stronger. The reanalyzer team said the Earth's average temperature on July 4th was 17.18 degrees Celsius. That was about 1 degree Celsius warmer than the average from 1979 to 2000. Chris Field is a climate scientist at Stanford University. He called the news another piece of evidence that global warming is pushing us into a hotter future. People in the southern U.S., North Africa, and China are currently experiencing heat waves or several days with higher than average temperatures. A Ukrainian research base on an island near Antarctica reported a July record temperature with a reading of 8.7 degrees Celsius. People often like to celebrate records, but Friederike Otto at the Grantham Institute for Climate Change and the Environment in London said, "This is not a milestone we should be celebrating." I'm Dan Friedel.
Vietnamese state media reported on Monday that Vietnam has banned the movie Barbie from being released in the Southeast Asian country. Vietnam banned the movie because of a moment in the film showing a map of China's claimed territory in the South China Sea. The map shows the nine-dash line used by China to claim almost all of the South China Sea. The claim was rejected in an international court ruling in The Hague, Netherlands, in 2016, but China refuses to recognize the ruling. The Chinese claim includes areas of what Vietnam and several Southeast Asian countries consider part of their country. Vietnam has repeatedly accused China's ships of entering its territory without permission. Vietnam has also permitted oil companies to explore and gather oil resources in this territory. Barbie is the latest movie to be banned in Vietnam for showing China's disputed nine-dash line. In 2019, the Vietnamese government pulled DreamWorks' film Abominable, and last year it banned Sony's action movie Uncharted for the same reason. The online film and show service Netflix also removed an Australian spy drama, Pine Gap, in 2021. At the same time, China has also banned or forced Hollywood studios to cut moments in movies that did not follow the Communist Party's directions. They included 7 Years in Tibet, World War Z, Christopher Robin, and several others. Barbie is a movie starring Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. State-run newspaper Tuy Tre said it was first set to open in Vietnam on July 21st, the same date as in the United States. "We do not grant license for the American movie Barbie to release in Vietnam because it contains the offending image of the nine-dash line," the paper reported. Kian Tang saying. He is the head of the Department of Cinema, a government agency in charge of licensing and censoring foreign films. Warner Brothers, The producer of Barbie did not respond to a request for comment from Reuters. I'm Jill Robbins.
Twitter has placed temporary restrictions on the number of tweets or posts users can look at each day. The company also established a new rule requiring people to have a Twitter account in order to read tweets on the messaging service. Company chief Elon Musk noted the recent changes in a series of tweets. He explained the restrictions were an attempt to cut down on scraping, in which businesses take huge amounts of publicly available data from large online sites. Musk said the temporary limits aim to fight extreme levels of scraping and other data collection that can affect Twitter's system performance. The Twitter chief announced the changes July 1st. He said Twitter users who pay for a verified account were limited to reading 6,000 tweets per day. Users with unverified accounts were limited to 600 tweets per day, while new unverified accounts could read 300 per day. A few days earlier, Musk had announced the rule requiring users to have a Twitter account to look at tweets. He described that move as a temporary emergency measure. Musk said third-party data collection activity was so severe it was degrading service for normal users. In the past, Musk has heavily criticized artificial intelligence, AI, companies for using publicly available information on the Twitter service to collect data for their businesses. Musk even tweeted a promise to take legal action against those who stole our data and look forward to seeing them in court. After the Twitter policy faced wide criticism online, Musk later announced higher limits. He said verified accounts could read 10,000 tweets and unverified accounts could see 1,000. Users with new unverified accounts can now read 500 tweets daily. Neither Twitter nor Musk answered requests for comment on the changes from reporters from the Associated Press and Reuters. Musk is also chief of electric car maker Tesla and space company SpaceX. The restrictions are the latest in a series of changes made by Musk since he bought Twitter for $44 billion last year. He also dismissed about 75% of the company's workforce soon after taking control. He said the move was necessary to make Twitter more effective and increase profits. When first announced, the changes caused up to 7,500 people to report problems using Twitter, the website Down Detector said. That is a relatively small number considering the messaging service has more than 200 million users worldwide. But the changes did result in the hashtag #TwitterDown showing up on social media in some parts of the world. The higher limit for verified accounts is part of an $8 per month subscription service Musk launched earlier this year. Musk also sought to remove bans from some kinds of content that had been restricted on Twitter. He said he was acting to protect the free speech of users. However, some advertisers reduced their business with Twitter following the policy changes. That meant a loss in earnings for the social media site. The latest changes at Twitter came as Facebook owner Meta prepares to launch a new service that appears to be positioned to directly compete with Twitter. That service, called Threads, is expected to begin service on Thursday. A listing for Threads has appeared on Apple's App Store. The listing describes the service as a text-based conversation app that is linked to Meta-owned Instagram. Users of Instagram will be able to keep their usernames and follow the same accounts on Thread, the App Store listing suggested. Meta did not answer requests for comment about the new service. Matt Navarra is a technology industry expert and advisor to social media companies. He told the Associated Press he thinks the new Meta product is launching at the right time, when many Twitter users are not happy with Musk's continuing changes. Navarra said Threads presents the chance for Twitter users to jump to a platform that can give users many of the things that they want Twitter to continue to be, but that it no longer is. I'm Brian Lynn.
Now, Brian Lynn joins me to talk more about his technology report. Thanks for being here, Brian.
Of course, Ashley. Glad to be here.
This week's report dealt with some changes announced at Twitter that limit the number of tweets users can see each day. What has the reaction been so far to the changes?
We got into the reactions a little bit in the report. Officially, though, only about 7,500 people reported problems with the Twitter site when the restrictions first took effect. That is out of more than 200 million users worldwide, but there seem to have been many more people who expressed criticisms of the changes on social media once Elon Musk had confirmed the new restrictions.
We also learned in the report that Meta is preparing to launch a very similar product that will aim to directly compete with Twitter. What can you tell us about that service?
Yes, that's correct. The new offering from Meta is called Threads. It is a messaging app that works very much like Twitter and will be linked to Meta's Instagram service. Some experts have noted the importance of the connection between Threads and Instagram. They say this is because Instagram already has about 2 billion users, while Twitter is in the range of 200 million. So even if only 10% of Instagram users ended up using Threads, that could represent a huge new business for Meta.
And has an official launch date been set for Threads?
So at this point, Meta has set up a website for Threads, and it suggests the launch of the service will happen Thursday morning, at least in the United States and Britain.
Okay, well, thanks again, Brian, for joining me on today's program.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History from VOA Learning English. I'm Kelly Jean Kelly. Today, Jonathan Evans and I tell about the presidency of Barack Obama. He served two terms, from 2009 to 2017. He was the country's 44th president. Barack Obama had campaigned on promises of hope and change. Obama was able to meet those promises, in part, on the night of his election, simply because he was the first African-American president. Historian Michael Nelson is a professor at Rhodes College in Tennessee. He is also an expert on U.S. politics and the presidency.
There's a very famous photograph of Obama in the Oval Office, bending over so that a little boy, a little African-American boy, can rub his hair and notice that the president's hair felt just like his did. That was a moment when millions of Americans who had never seen anybody who looked like them in the White House could look and say, well, it's happened. That's now within the realm of possibilities.
But while Obama's election marked a big change in American history, Michael Nelson uses a different word to describe Obama as president.
Barack Obama was about as steady as they come. Not emotional, not impulsive, thoughtful, deliberate. For the most part, Obama was consistently the same from day one until the very end in terms of the way he conducted himself in office. And, of course, the presidency being a kind of fishbowl, the whole country was seeing that on a daily basis for 8 years.
When he first took office, Obama faced ongoing conflicts in Afghanistan and Iraq and a struggling economy at home. The issues were so urgent that he spoke about them in 2009 in his first speech as president.
Our nation is at war against a far-reaching network of violence and hatred. Our economy is badly weakened, a consequence of greed and irresponsibility on the part of some, but also our collective failure to make hard choices and prepare the nation for a new age.
In answer to these issues, Obama and his advisors developed plans to fight terrorism and ease U.S. involvement in the Middle East. In 2011, U.S. Special Forces killed the leader of the Al-Qaeda terror group, Osama bin Laden. He had organized a number of terrorist attacks around the world, including those carried out against the United States on September 11, 2001. Also in 2011, Obama declared the U.S. military was ending its involvement in the Iraq War. In 2014, he announced plans to withdraw U.S. combat troops from Afghanistan by the end of 2016. At home, Obama's administration was facing another kind of emergency. Several American banks had already failed. Other banks and industries were at risk, not just in the United States, but around the world. A major economic depression seemed possible. In answer, one of Obama's first acts as president was to sign a large spending bill known as the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. The measure reduced taxes for some families and paid for improvements to roads, bridges, and other infrastructure.
Also in 2009, the Obama administration approved a federal loan to save some major car-making companies from financial ruin. Without the money, the companies said they would have been forced to cut jobs and would have trouble making payments on debt. Many Americans opposed the administration's actions. Some argued against government spending. Others objected to saving businesses, while everyday people lost their homes or savings. But historian Michael Nelson defends Obama's actions.
Because the crisis never occurred, it's sort of hard for people to appreciate how close we came and how important it was to stimulate the economy and shore up the banks and reassure creditors and debtors and mortgage owners and everybody else that the government was on top of things and the economy was not going to sink to the very bottom.
Election of Barack Obama and the work of his administration was followed not only in the United States, but around the world. Less than 8 months into his presidency, the Norwegian Nobel Committee surprised many people by naming Obama as the winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. It praised him for his extraordinary efforts to strengthen international diplomacy and cooperation between peoples.
Obama was often described as a calm, unemotional leader. Yet the American public came to see another side of him. During his White House years, he often spoke to the nation after difficult or sad events. In 2013, two bombs exploded as runners neared the finish line at the Boston Marathon in Massachusetts. Three people were killed and more than 250 injured. Immediately after the attack, Obama spoke to reporters.
Make no mistake, we will get to the bottom of this, and we will find out who did this. We'll find out why they did this. Any responsible groups will feel the full weight of justice.
That concludes the first part of our story about the presidency of Barack Obama. Join us tomorrow for the rest of the story with The Making of a Nation.
And that's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.